Elmo without an engine of love. So if you hear, come back to me, come back.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on that on the other thing. What's it called now?
The net.
Yes, thank you. So that was my guest, Sandra Cross, also known as DJ Hybridist. Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, William. Thanks for inviting me.
That's all right. Thank you for coming in. Been doing any DJing recently?
Fortunately not, no. I'm waiting to get my invitation again, because I'm here in a different guise today.
You are indeed. But that was your choice of track to start with.
Yeah, that was Laura Nyro from a CD called Angel in the Dark.
Right.
And that was called Angel.
Yeah, or... Yeah, so the whole CD is called Angel in the Dark.
Yeah, the whole CD.
Okay,
yeah.
And that's a particular favourite?
It is a favourite, and I've appropriated it for a piece of work that I have been working on I'm using it today just for Resonance, really.
Right, okay. But it sort of relates to this ongoing project. I suppose what we're really going to present today is this, can we call it a radio play?
Well,
or it's a sound piece.
It's a spoken word piece,
yeah.
Which has been heard in a gallery situation once. Well, for a period of 2 weeks, and now it's being heard on radio for the first time. Today, it's slightly different to the way that it appeared in the gallery,
which was in Leicester.
That's right. Yes,
that's somewhere called the LCB Depot.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
What's LCB? What does that mean?
Well, it means Leicester Creative Business.
Okay.
So it's quite an interesting sort of environment that's been going for about 10 years that's
yeah.
supported by the local council and housed in what apparently used to be the old bus depot,
uh-huh.
hence the acronym a bit anyway.
Yes.
And that's
in sort of what has come to be known as Leicester's Cultural Quarter.
That's right, yes, which started off with a very amazing looking theatre called The Curve, which is very successful.
Uh-huh.
And they have other spaces in the Cultural Quarter. They're having quite a hard time getting... Well, they have a very successful space called the Phoenix Arts Centre,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Which I suppose is really their flagship, the city's flagship art space, and they have some quite high-end exhibitions in that space as well.
So that sort of grew out of the ashes of the Phoenix Theatre, didn't it?
It did, and then relocated to the new zone.
To the new zone, which is at the back of the old Odeon Cinema.
Yeah, and, but it's also in an area which used to be, because Leicester was made its money out of hosiery and typewriters and shoes, I think.
Yeah.
It's in an area which is absolutely jam-packed with warehouses, which used to have, you know, largely women machinists, you know, spending all their days. And it's still a bit of a ghost town.
Sure.
So it's taking a while to slowly resurrect.
So you have a personal connection with Leicester, obviously. You know Leicester. So in a way, this is kind of, this whole thing is about going back for you.
Well, it's bringing something back home. I go there once a week to visit my mother, and have done for the last 8 years.
Mm.
And I've been writing about these visits in a journal which is called Limbo,
yeah.
Which is stretching now to, I don't know, probably 1500 pages.
Just to interject, the visits, the travelling on the train, resulted in actually you made a record, didn't you, called the Ems Bar Recording.
That's right, yes, which Johnny Trunk heard on your radio programme, and then very kindly decided that he would publish and release it as a limited edition vinyl piece and CD. And so I'm very grateful for that, because it was really just... I had got it as part of another project which I also work on from time to time, called What Do You Eat Today?
Mm-hmm.
And the Ems Bar is really a sort of sociological sort of study.
Yes.
Well, it's not really a study, it's a ready-made, actually, because all it is a recording of people making announcements about, you know, what time something will be ready, what will be ready.
So the official buffet car announcement.
The buffet car, which no longer exists, because what with cutbacks here, there and everywhere, the buffet car has been slashed, and now it's down to a trolley.
Right, which sort of shakes and rattles its way up the aisle.
It does. It's not at all designed for purpose.
So the buffet car was called the Ems Bar.
That's right.
Hence the title of the record, which now has something of a cult following, doesn't it? It became a real collector's piece.
Well,
it was even odd, even by Johnny Trunk standards.
Well, I think but nevertheless he was drawn towards it and fancied turning it into something more.
Yes.
I mean, as I say, I just had done it because I was fascinated by people's voices and the way in which when obviously people have a script and they read from the script, but then we're never very far away from our own personality. So, and it's quite tedious information as well, so you get this you know, the mark of the individual who you could never see, because it was just a tannoy announcement. And I think it was interesting in all sorts of ways, really.
So that was on CD and vinyl, but they're quite sort of quite scarce things already, I think.
And
the last time we went to Leicester, we bumped into Adam Fisher, didn't we? Who said he has a DJ set.
Well, he's to recap on Adam, he's somebody who has been on your programme more than once, I think, who has an interest in travel in particular, in the form of tube train travel, and he's attempting to break some sort of record, isn't he? On various metro lines around the world, basically.
Yeah.
And yes, he took a shine to this. And I think that's actually one way in which we actually met him.
That's right, yes, indeed.
The Ems Bar acted as a sort of... but meeting of minds.
He does do a bit of DJing in Leicester, and apparently he starts his set with tracks from your LP, which are the buffet car announcements, which must be quite strange in that context.
At the Crumbling Cookie.
That's right.
On the high street.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move on to Home Care. So Home Care is an exhibition you held, in June, I think, in Leicester.
Yes, the late end of May until June the 12th,
And this comes, it's a sort of a consequence of you visiting your mother in a care home in Rearsby, which is just outside Leicester.
Yes, that's where she is now, but actually the home care part hasn't been given air in the world yet. This is more to do with her life up to a certain point. And as we were saying before we sort of got onto the Ems Bar, I've been visiting her for 8 years and writing about these visits as a consequence of two major factors. One was my father dying, and the other was my mother being described as having probable Alzheimer's. So writing this journal, which is called Limbo, was a way of me holding on to her in some ways, and also holding on to my own memory of what was actually taking place each and every time I saw her, which was at least once a week. The home care at the LCB is a sort of a further outtake, because the journal is so unwieldy now and sort of incorporates photographic material as well, but largely the written word. This is a sort of a little outtake and a shining into the life that my mother did live and lead for from I think it was 2006 until 2011, which takes as its starting point. And this is why it's called home care. Well, also there's sort of more that you could make out of those two words. But it's from home care notes as written by people who come into your home, who are called home care workers. And these are the notes that they were writing each and every day when they entered my mother's home. And I found this particular form of writing very intriguing, because it's not the sort of writing that many people have access to. It's not really writing that ever sees the light of day. It just probably goes from one file to another file and then is filed and then maybe just discarded altogether. But it represents elements of a life which is superficially at least very reduced.
Right. So you compiled what is sort of virtually a script out of these home care notes.
Yes, but I didn't change anything. Didn't change anything at all.
Right.
So the play is constructed from notes which were written up each day by home care workers over roughly a 3-week period. The notes were left in my mother's home and she never read them. They were kept in a file on a chair. That in itself is quite peculiar. The idea that a different person comes into your home every day and notes what they find, writes down what they find about you, but you never see the notes. They were situated on a chair on the far side of the dining table. These particular notes, which form the spoken word piece, were written about 2 months before my mother had a fall, then went into hospital and rehabilitation for 3 weeks, and she never returned to her home.
Okay.
So this is the end point of several years worth of home care notes.
Right, right.
Each visit that I made to my mother's home, I would read the notes, because of her failing memory and her not reading the notes, I needed to read the notes to find out if there was anything I needed to follow up on. If there was a crisis, the home care workers would always ring me. But the devil is in the detail in these things. So if she hadn't had her breakfast, I wanted to know why, and etc. Because these small things that we take for granted are very
important. So these notes were aimed at you?
No, they are... that's a good question, isn't it? Who are the notes for, really? I suppose they're a bit like a sort of police record of what you find at a particular scene.
Yeah.
So the worker comes into the house, sees the person that they've been contracted to visit,
yeah.
and then notes what they find when they get there,
yeah.
and what they do within the environment. So if they make the breakfast, okay. they make a note of that. They say vaguely how the person was.
So it's like a sort of formality that they are obliged to do.
I suppose it's a legal thing to say, we were here and this is what we did.
It's like, I was here.
We were here, and because the basic thing is to keep the person safe in their home.
Mm.
So this is a record of some elements of that.
Yeah. So I see. So they weren't actually addressed to you.
No.
But you were...
And once again, sorry to interrupt, but mm-hmm. I don't even know if they knew that I was reading it.
Right, okay.
Or had read them.
There was a kind of... it was also, for some... Well, I suppose there is a logical reason behind it, but there seemed to be any number of these home care workers. You know, that she didn't have a consistent worker that she could relate to.
No. Well, that would be a question that I would ask the agency itself and the local authority. What is the ratio supposed to be?
Mm.
And there is a ratio at that time when this ceased in 2011. I think it was 2.4 workers per week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was the other reason I was looking at the notes, was because obviously with somebody with memory problems, this idea of somebody else coming into the house, you could have, over this period of the spoken word play, so-called, there are something like 13 different home care workers over a three-week period.
Right.
So it's well in excess of the ratio.
Yeah.
So that means that the person who's being visited has no idea, notwithstanding their memory problems.
Mm.
So it means it's not an accurate record, really, because if the person says, "What are you doing here?" it doesn't mean that their memory's... It may mean that they don't recognise them. But these people aren't qualified. They do a great job, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not qualified psychiatrically or even as social workers. They are... Some people have suggested they do it for pin money. It's not an ideal job. But I think you don't need an awful lot of qualifications. The major qualification is obviously an interest in people. And caring, and caring.
So you've designated, in this spoken piece, you've designated them as handmaidens.
That's right, because I felt that the work that they do, the work that they do has a sort of, if you were to push it, it has a sort of, not exactly, I felt it had could have had a sort of scriptural side to it, in a way that they're always women. They were always women.
Right.
Women who show mercy, who care and are kind.
You hope.
We hope, yes. Yeah. But those are qualities that are generally, not always, obviously, but biblically, you get this sort of washing of people. Not that they were washing my mother, but they were this idea of helping the person maintain their autonomy, if you like.
So the term handmaiden, you think that comes from the Bible?
Probably stems from that sort of area of thinking. And I've given... I should also say that there are other notes integrated within the home care notes, which were those notes which two other workers from another agency called Respite Workers and Companions, in which they wrote to me and I wrote to them. We had separate notebooks for this. So we have quasi-biblical names like Yale and Sarah and Leah. And it is also to disguise their identities.
Shall we play the recording then? So
okay.
It lasts, it's about 21 minutes.
That's right, yeah.
And it was also included in the... in this event, wasn't it, that took place? The exhibition in Leicester.
Yeah.
Does it have a title or just home care?
It's called home care, yeah.
Handmaiden 1. Mara not very happy today, wrist still hurting. Gave banana and milk, cup of tea and milk, prompt meds. Tied up rubbish. Mara insisted on putting it out the front door. Wiped kitchen surfaces. Mara washed and dressed, ready to go out. All okay on leaving. Handmaiden one. Mara up and dressed, refused personal care, gave toast by two, tea and milk, prompt meds, cream on wrist, still very sore. Informed office, wiped all kitchen surfaces and sink. Rubbish still in kitchen, but Mara insisted that I not dispose of it. Yale to Sarah, dear Sarah. Took your mum for a ride round, then we went to McDonald's and had chips and coffee. We sat outside because it was a nice day, and your mum enjoyed watching everybody. We had a laugh. She enjoyed it today, and the man has been to look at the door. Will not be here next week. Like I said, you can ring me any time. Yale. Handmaiden 1. Mara up and dressed, very tearful, wrist still sore. Gave banana, milk and sugar, tea and milk. Rubbish still in kitchen, no back door key. Wiped kitchen surfaces, cream on wrist, prompt meds, all okay on leaving. Handmaiden 1. Mara very tearful again today, wrist still very sore and swollen. Informed on call again, gave toast by two, milk and tea, wiped kitchen surfaces, rubbish still in kitchen, no back door key, cream on wrist, prompt meds, all okay on leaving. From Leah to Sarah. I did my usual cleaning, the key was in the key safe, and the beefeater keys were on the sideboard. Your mum's hair was £8.85 and £2 tip. Your mum's sandwich was £1 and milk was 96 pence. 2 at 45 equals 96. Next week I will come from 5 to 7pm just to check if she is okay. Your mum's wrist did seem to hurt her. I will try and put some cream on to help the pain. Hope you're okay, Leah. P.S. Could not find any cream. Your mum did not complain too much, but did now and again. I will start on a Tuesday on the 7th of June. I'm sorry I had to get off the telephone quickly, but your mum wanted to go out and I didn't want to keep her waiting too long. I hope you did not mind, Leah. Handmaiden 2. Mara in bed on arrival, had to ring her to let me in. Put some cream on her wrist, did two toasts with butter, cup of milk, mug of tea, medication taken in front of me with her milk. All's well on leaving. Handmaiden 3. Mara well, made glass of milk. She didn't want breakfast as she had already had some. Wash pots, meds taken, and Algisol put on left wrist. Lovely chat. All's well on leaving. From Leah to Sarah. The key was in the key safe, but no beefeater keys. I did look for them, but I could not find them. Your mum's sandwich was £1, and the milk was 96 pence. Together it was 1.96. I emptied the bin and put the black bin out. I will be coming on Tuesday to see your mum. I will take her out. Hope you're okay, Leah. From Sarah to Yale. Dear Yale, hope you had a good break. Welcome back, Sarah. From Sarah to Leah. Dear Leah, thanks for coming around after your training course. Could you please take the laundry either on Tuesday or Thursday? Also, I might ask you to take Mum to the surgery about her swollen wrist. If you can, could you give her a cup of paracetamol and put some cream on her wrist? Sarah. From Yale to Sarah. Dear Sarah, I had a lovely holiday, thank you. Goes by so quickly. Took your mum for a ride round, then to Marks and Spencer for tea cake and a coffee. £15.13 minus £3.55 for coffee and tea cake equals £11.58 change. Your mum enjoyed herself and she had the beefeater keys today. Mileage 14, Yale. From Sarah, thanks very much, Yale. Sarah. Handmaiden 1. Mara still complaining about her wrists, swollen and sore. Put on cream, prompt meds, gave toast, tea and milk. Offered to assist with personal care and dressing. Refused and got upset. Informed on call. Wiped kitchen surfaces and tied up rubbish. No back door key. Would not let me go upstairs. Sitting on sofa still in nightie on leaving. All okay. From Leah to Sarah. Your mum was fine today. We went out for a drive in my car. I got your mum a sandwich and I took the washing to be cleaned. We'll pick it up next week. The key was in the key safe and the beefeater keys were on the sideboard. Hope you're okay, Leah. P.S. Your mum's sandwich was a pound and 2 by 1 pints of milk were 96 pence, together 1.96, and 50 pence for car park at the doctor's. The washing was 11.99. I will pick it up next Tuesday. The receipt is in my envelope. The doctor said he is giving your mum Xanadol, which you take once a day. Must not take Cocodamol with these tabs, can cause constipation. If you want your mum to have an x-ray, you will have to speak to the doctor yourself. Your mum has arthritis in her wrists, Leah. Handmaiden 4. Mara in tears on arrival, complaining her wrists were sore. Put on cream, prompted meds, glass of milk, didn't want breakfast. Assisted to put trousers on, but didn't want help with top half. Have informed office. Kitchen tidy. Upstairs sitting on bed on leaving. Handmaiden 5. Mara fine this morning, already up, washed and dressed. Put cream on, prompt meds. Made a cup of tea for Mara. Didn't want any breakfast. Left well and secure on leaving. Mara made bed. From Leah to Sarah. I did my usual cleaning. The key was in the key safe. The beefeater keys were around on the sideboard. Your mum's hair was 8.85 and her sandwich was a pound. 2 pints of milk were 96 pence together, 1.96. Your mum was fine today. I put the tablets into my folder. Hope you're okay. Leah, P.S. Could you please get some bleach, kitchen cleaner and bathroom cleaner? Thank you. Handmaiden 5. Mara complaining about both wrists. Right one more swollen. Got upset when I tried to assist with personal care. Refused and was upset. Informed office on call. Made Mara some breakfast. 2 slices of toast with jam, along with a cup of tea. Had a chat. Left Mara well as can be expected and secure on leaving. Applied cream. Washed up. Meds prompted from Dosset box. Handmaiden 3. Mara well. She didn't want breakfast, only a cup of tea. She was already dressed on arrival. Applied cream on wrist and medication taken. Nice chat. All's well on leaving. From Sarah to Leah. Dear Leah, thank you for doing so much for Mum and me. It is all such a great help. All the best, Sarah. Handmaiden 6. Mara okay. Up, dressed in coat, refused cream on back. Says she's not taking coat off. Got her a cup of milk with tablets. Already had breakfast over an hour ago. Refused any care. Quite upset, saying we should know what time she goes out. All's well on leaving. Handmaiden 1. Mara very tearful today, assisted with dressing, made bed, gave tea, milk and banana with milk and sugar, prompt meds, cream on wrist, informed office about Mara's condition, all okay on leaving. Handmaiden 1. Mara in bed on arrival, barricaded herself in, difficult to gain entry, informed S&D in office that Mara is in pain and unable to get out of bed, unable to sit up and have a drink or meds, rang doctor on D's instructions, washed and dried pots, doctor coming out at about 11.30, all secure on leaving. Handmaiden 7, Mara in bed in a lot of pain, doctor arranged for intermediate care team to come in, daughter updated. Left Mara with the ale from agency. Mara took meds. Handmaiden 8. intermediate care team visited as requested. Mara got up out of bed independently, walked to the bathroom, got on off toilet independently, walked back to bedroom, decided she would go downstairs independently. Mobility slower than normal, but independent. From Yale to Sarah. Dear Sarah, as you know, I could not take your mum out today because of her back. So I sat with her, made her a sandwich and coffee. Hope she gets better soon. Hope you had a nice holiday, Yale. From Lear to Sarah. Stayed in today because of your mum's back. I left your mum with a sandwich and a drink and also a blanket. Hopefully we'll be able to go out on Thursday, Lear. Handmaiden 1. Mara not too bad today, but very sleepy. Gave toast by one, fresh milk and tea. Prompt meds. Refused cream on wrist, but still sore. Threw away sandwiches and milk from yesterday not eaten. Prompt meds several times from Dosset Box. All okay on leaving. Handmaiden 9. Mara not too bad today. Couldn't get in. Had to wait 25 minutes before I was let in. Made two toast, one tea, one milk. Meds prompted. Mara seems very sleepy again today and also in a lot of pain with her wrist. Put cream on. Will inform office. Didn't chat much today. Kept prompting meds. All's okay on leaving. Put electric fire on at Mara's request. From Leah to Sarah. I did my usual cleaning and got your mum a sandwich, £1, and 2 pints of milk. 2 by 1 pint, which was 96 pence, equals 196. The key was in the key safe and 3 other keys, which I think are the Beefeater keys. The Beefeater key ring was on the sideboard on its own. I took your mum to have a manicure, which was £8.50. Your mum's back did not seem to hurt her so much today. Your mum was in the lounge and seemed to be her usual self. Hope you're okay and had a nice time on holiday. Lear. P.S. I'm on holiday on the 5th, 7th, 12th and 14th of July. I will be back on 19th of July, which is a Tuesday. Handmaiden 10. Mara has coat on, says she's going out, doesn't want any lunch as she won't be here. Rang office. Cup of tea made, toast and yogurt given. Wanted to heat some soup up, Mara doesn't want it. No meds in freezer, unable to find any saucepans to heat soup with. Mara eating her toast, okay on leaving. Handmaiden 11. Mara asleep on sofa on arrival, very tired. Front door wide open. Prompted meds, taken with glass of milk. Prepared 2 Weetabix and a cup of tea for breakfast. Mara doesn't seem very well, complaining that she's cold and very drowsy. Asked me to put fire on for her. Will inform office. From Sarah to Leah. Dear Leah, I will have to ring you to give you an update on Mum. Very many thanks for all your help. Sarah. P.S. I think we might have to swap the sandwich for something else. Maybe tinned peaches and cream, say. I always find a whole leftover sandwich on Saturday. Handmaiden 12. Mara up on arrival, upstairs on the toilet, already dressed. Sat on the toilet for about 40 minutes. Meds taken. Made bed, breakfast, 2 Weetabix, 1 cup of tea. Refused cream to wrist. Curtains open, all's well on leaving. Also cleaned toilet after opening up bowels. Handmaiden 1. Mara okay, very sleepy. Gave mashed banana, sugar and milk, cup of tea and milk. Prompt meds. Wiped kitchen surfaces. Already up and dressed. Fire on. All okay on leaving. Handmaiden 1. Mara still in bed on arrival. Didn't want to get up. Assisted to bathroom, then back to bed. Gave a cup of milk. Prompt meds. Refused breakfast and personal care. Rubbish out. Kitchen left tidy. All okay on leaving. Informed on call. Handmaiden 1. Mara up, dressed with coat on, ready to go out. Cream on wrists. prompt meds, gave tea, milk, banana and sugar on Mara's request, wiped kitchen surfaces, been okay, all okay on leaving. Handmaiden 13, Mara in a lot of pain with back and wrists, was stuck on toilet, all's well on leaving. From Leah to Yale, I took 50p out of your envelope, thanks, Leah. From Leah to Sarah, I did my usual cleaning. Your mum's hair was £8.85, and I did get her a sandwich, which was £1. I would try some peaches and cream next week. I got your mum 2x1 pints of milk, which was 96 pence. Together with the sandwich, it was 1.96. Your mum was up and dressed when I arrived, and quite happy and chatty. The key was in the key safe, and everything seemed to be fine. Leah, P.S. Only one key in the key safe, not the bunch of keys. I took 50 pence out of Yale's envelope. I've left a message for Yale on her pad to tell her I have done this. Handmaiden 3. Mara was in bed on arrival and had barricaded the living room door, made her honey on toast and cup of tea, glass of water with her meds, which were taken. Wrist creamed. Mara not well, very tearful and just lethargic and just looks under the weather. Rang daughter and explained, and she is on her way over. From Sarah to Leah, dear Leah, as you told me about the bunch of keys in the safe, I took them out and gave them to Mum. I don't know what they were doing in the safe or who put them there. Sandwich left over in fridge when I came on Saturday. Could you please drop off and pay for the laundry? I've left a note asking Yale if she can collect, as you will be away. Just put the ticket in Yale's envelope. If we don't speak before, hope you have a great holiday and that your daughter gets her maternity place. Love, Sarah. P.S. I bought Mum some ice cream. It's in the freezer. Let's try her with some of this with fruit. I think she's fed up with some things. P.P.S. Will you be willing to take Mum to Aqua movement and music sessions on Tuesday afternoons? I think it would help her arthritis. From Sarah to Yale. Dear Yale, if Leah leaves you the ticket, could you please collect Mum's laundry next week, July the 5th, I think? Leah pays when she drops the laundry off. Please can you put the laundry in the first wardrobe in the spare bedroom? Key on top of wardrobe, closest to sofa bed. Thanks, Sarah. Handmaiden 9. Mara fine on arrival, already waiting to be collected. Prompted meds and taken. Cream to wrists. Mara would not let me make her any breakfast. From Yale to Sarah. Dear Sarah, took your mum for a ride round, went to Watermead Park, had coffee and a cob. Your mum didn't eat the cob. I brought it home for her to eat later. Your mum seemed a bit quiet today, but she said she enjoyed herself. I will get laundry for you next week. £11.13 minus £1.90 for coffee and cob equals £9.23 change. Mileage 8. Just letting you know I'll be away from the 11th of July until the 23rd of July. I like the new door and don't have to worry about the keys anymore. I think the lock-on door is very good. Yale. From Sarah. DL, couldn't agree more about the door. Have a great holiday, Yale. Sarah. From Leah to Sarah. I will take the laundry and leave the ticket in Yale's envelope. I did see Yale, so she knows I'm doing this. I got your mum 2x1 pints of milk. I will leave your mum some peaches and ice cream. The milk was 96 pence. We'll take your mum to Aqua Sessions. Just leave me the details of where it is and what time you want. The key was in the key safe and your mum was fine today. She did not complain at all about her back hurting. Hope you're okay. Leah, P.S. The laundry was £9.99 and I noticed there were tins of peaches in your mum's food cupboard, so I used one of these. I also got a leaflet for the Aqua Sessions. If you have any documents with your mum's date of birth, it is cheaper. I've left the leaflet in the folder. from Leah to Sarah. I did my usual cleaning. The key was in the key safe. I got your mum 2x1 pints of milk, which was 96 pence. I took your mum for a drive and then for a manicure, which was £8.50. Your mum was quite quiet today. I asked if she was okay and she said she was fine. I got your mum some peaches and ice cream. I will see your mum next on Thursday, July the 21st. I hope you have a quiet 2 weeks while I am away. Love, Leah. P.S. Could you get some bleach, please?
Here you're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. And that was a recording by Sandra Cross called Home Care. Sandra, what it wasn't exactly a radio play as such, but it sort of comes over that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it's. I don't know how to characterise it really, except it's just spoken word taken from verbatim notes. Which we talked about earlier on in the programme, their origination anyway, the way that they originated rather.
And in the exhibition in Leicester, you had a CD player which was basically screwed onto a very large photograph of an interior of the house.
Yes.
And people would sort of pull a cord and play the CD whilst looking at the photographs.
Mm.
Okay, and throughout that recording, there's a constant reference to something called the Beefeater keys.
Oh yes.
To those who aren't familiar with the Beefeater keys, what does that mean?
Well, one of the many terrible things about losing your memory is that the things that we all take for granted become like climbing mountains. Keys became an absolutely ridiculous idea altogether. I had so many keys. I think there was a reference to putting keys on top of wardrobes. There were key safes. We had two key safes. I was like a jailer. I had keys all over me.
Yeah.
I used to have to hide them in envelopes, and because if my mother found the keys, sometimes she would insist on having keys, quite rightly. It was her house and so on.
Yeah.
She wouldn't realise that there was a system to this. So sometimes if she insisted with different people, then all of the keys would be absorbed and then the keys might be hidden.
Right.
You might get to one hiding place, which might be under her pillow, but I could see that she would do that for safety. Now living on her own after decades of living with my father, she was fearful of being on her own, so that made sense.
Mm.
Up to a point I could find them, but then after that I couldn't find them
anywhere,
so a lot of time would be spent in doing that.
So she insisted on having the keys. In other words, she'd almost put up a struggle, wouldn't she?
She is quite a powerful person in that sense. She's very she's not afraid of saying exactly what she needs to say, and she would become quite strenuous, and people thought that this was a deterioration in her condition, but I am the person that can tell them that she has always been that way.
Right.
And this is another thing with, unless there is an advocate for the individual, people's conditions, so-called, are always read via the label.
Yeah.
The personality, because the individual often doesn't know the person. So
they might misinterpret the behavior.
They have no backstory.
No. Right.
So they don't know. They think the person that's presenting to them is going mad, and that's how they think one thing can lead to another. Beefeater, to answer your question, is at a certain point I bought a beefeater as a key ring to put on a certain bunch of keys. It wasn't plastic, it was a soft toy type thing, you know, like a London Tower of London beefeater.
Yeah. Right.
So, and that meant it was easier to find, obviously, if she left them on the sideboard, or if you were lucky, that's where they might be, you know, they would be in a visible place.
So you'd see the beefeater from across the room and you'd know that was where the keys were.
Yes.
But so basically we're saying she would try and hang on to these keys, but then the next time you came, she had hidden them somewhere.
Well, I think that obviously, because it's impossible to get into somebody else's head, you can't know the reasons why. It's you can only try and guess or work out where they might be. So she, as I say, her, once again, this has always been her nature, her personality has been to be fearful and careful. So I could see that if she was putting the keys in her in a certain place, it was only because she was protecting herself. It wasn't because but then in that process she herself, because of her condition, would forget where they were.
Right.
She equally wouldn't understand why somebody else might ask her where they were, because then you'd be back to her personality.
So what would you do then if you couldn't find the keys?
Well, I always had my own bunch, so I'd keep on getting more cuts. So that was the other problem, that the endless keys would be cut.
Yes.
You know, then I had them numbered. I had them numbered so I could then try and track them if I found one. I'd know it was number four. I'd have notes with me. You know, number four, I put in the key safe on this date. Yeah. Here it is. Here's number four.
And key safes are these sort of, they're like a, it's like a rubber, a black rubber thing which is screwed to the side of the house.
Yeah, which has
basically
a combination.
Yeah.
And
so the carers would know the combination. So they could they could arrive using that, those keys. But then your mother would also seize those keys, wouldn't she, sometimes?
Well, in the end, I had her... she had such an amazing package of care. I had got her going out every single day of the week. And some of these days, when she was going out to day centres, they'd have a system whereby the local authority would have to pay a local cab company. Well, clearly the drivers aren't equipped to deal with people who are going to say, give me my keys, they're my keys, that kind of thing. So there might be a tussle. They would know that they needed to get the keys back into the key safe, open the door to my mother's house, see that she's safely inside, then return the keys to the key safe outside. But she might then, you know, become argumentative and say, they're my keys, give them to me. And they would have to do that, because if a person is still compos mentis to a large degree, and she's very, has been very good at that.
Yeah. I do remember, I remember this, and it became, it did, I have to say, there was a sort of comedy element to
there was, but there was always
There was one particular instance, I can't remember quite why now, but there seemed to be an incredibly long chain by the door.
Well, that was my that was the ultimate solution, that she would there would always be one key inside the house. So my plan was to get this very good friend who was local to my mother, who would do sort of little jobs for her, and like pulling, she would pull the TV aerial. This was her safety first thing, you know, because it's like the old days, you know, you pull all the plugs out at night when you go to bed. She started pulling out the aerial from the TV, but then of course she wouldn't remember how to put it back.
Right.
So I got this friend to build a cage around the aerial on the back of the TV so she couldn't get it off.
Right.
In with the same line of thinking. In fact, he could almost market these things now. But each person's different. Obviously, each set of circumstances is very different. I got him to get... at first, we got a very heavy chain from the local hardware store, and he mounted it on the wall inside her front door lobby with one single key on it, so she could at least open the door.
So you could open the door from the inside, but in theory, you wouldn't lose that key. Because
you would never lose
the key.
Because it was
literally attached to the wall by a chain.
She became so inflamed by this, she ripped it off the wall. So then I had to get an even heavier gauge.
So she pulled the chain.
She basically pulled
the bolt out.
Yeah, and she
the
has
wall.
Been very strong for a relatively small woman.
Yeah.
You know, very, and anger as well makes you very strong.
Yes.
So I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there. But she could have spent all night, for all I know, pulling it away from the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we got another one, and that lasted. But that then became another problem. She then started to become unhappy about that. And confused by it.
I should briefly say that the throughout this recording, you hear the clock chiming.
Yes.
And that's not entirely arbitrary, because the clock had belonged to your mother, in fact.
Yes.
In fact, it's the very same clock that I use as the theme tune to my show, and have done for several years now.
Yes.
And I call it the Syston clock.
Right.
Because it was a sort of, it's a bit like a grandfather clock, but it attached to the wall.
Yes.
It's not a very expensive clock, so you can hear this strange sort of mechanism, sort of going
like
that as it sort of builds up to the chiming. And that is interposed with it. And the clock itself, of course, belonged to your grandfather. It was a prize, wasn't it?
Yes, he won it. He was a great runner, and he won it because he came third out of a field of 600
cross country runners
when he was in the something Harriers
in Corby.
In Yorkshire.
Barnsley. Okay. So the clock isn't entirely, we haven't just slapped
it on. No, it's not random
at
all. And in fact, that appeared in the show at the LCB.
Indeed. We had the clock screwed to the wall.
We had the clock screwed to the wall.
Over a photograph of the clock.
Yes, and that was a very good idea of yours.
Quite impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, and you are Sarah in the story, I think.
That's right.
When they refer, so it says Yale to Sarah. That's talking about you.
Yes.
Yes, you are. We're looking at the clock somewhat anxiously. You want to play a long track at the end, I think. It's quite a long track, isn't it? Is this June Tabor?
It is. Yes.
Which sort of brackets the whole thing.
Well, the two pieces of music that I've chosen for this version, I think that this spoken word can have very many different scores and different moods depending on where it's located. Mm. In the gallery, LCB in Leicester, as you say, it was screwed into a photograph on the wall, and it just had the clock repeating, because it was very much, the whole exhibition was very much to do with this emptying out of my mother's life and just the time and the time hanging and so on. But I think it has got mileage in it, this, and as I say, the scores and the moods can be different. For resonance, I chose the Angel track to start with, because I imagined if my mother had known that song, she might have sung it to my father. And the track that we finish with is called All I Ask of You, and I think of it as being, it was written by a Jesuit priest, apparently, and adapted by somebody called Les Barker, who I haven't heard of. Mm. It's called All I Ask of You, and I could imagine my father saying this to my mother. It's a call and response thing. She calls out Angel, and he calls out from his place in the cosmic wherever. Mm. I could imagine him saying this to my mother, because he was a fairly selfless individual, and the sentiment suits his personality. So it's June Tabor with a group called Quersus, who are Ian Bellamy and Hugh Warren, one of whom is playing the sax on this, and that is Ian Bellamy.
Okay, I think we've probably just got time. I think it will probably take us up to the end of the show.
Okay.
So thank you very much to Sandra Cross, also known as DJ Hybridist, for presenting Home Care today.
Thank you. Thank
You've
you
been,
for having me.
Listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. Thank you.
All I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. All I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. Remember the joy of two hearts that beat as one, and the love that still lives on. And all I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. And though the road we walk is wintry and grey, still we'll have those sunlit distant days. And all I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. All I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. From time to time we'll be talking, you and I. Call my name, I'll be near. Laughter, joy, and all you are, and all the things you do. When you have time, you'll find them here for you. All I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you. One short life, a candlelight of hopes and of fears, briefly flames, then fades and disappears. But all I ask of you is forever to remember me as loving you.